Church, that brings us to our fifth objective, understanding the church's position. The subtitle for today's message is Hold It Up. Hold It Up. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Church, if we're going to prepare a safe place, we must understand the church's position. What do we mean by that word, position? That word, position, like many words, has many different definitions. But for the purpose of today's message, this is the definition of position. Position means a place to be occupied. It is a place to be occupied. It is the appropriate place. The appropriate place. It is one's role or duty. Position is a place to be occupied. It is the appropriate place. It is one's role or duty. Church, we must understand the place that we are to occupy in the world. We must understand what our appropriate place is in the world. We must understand our role and our duty. We must understand our position. So then, what is the answer to the question? What is our position? Well, the answer is going to be seen in our text for this morning. So let's look at our scripture for today. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy, this was a letter, a personal letter, written by Paul to Timothy, who was a son in the faith. And in this letter, Paul gives Timothy guidance on how to care for the church at Ephesus, because there Timothy was in charge. So he gives Timothy some guidance on leading the church. Paul instructs Timothy on a number of different things. He instructs Timothy on how Christians should pray. He addresses the role of the women in this church. And he sets forth the qualifications for church leadership. And then in verse 14, Paul reminds Timothy why he is giving these instructions. Let's read. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." In other words, I am hoping, Timothy, to come visit you real soon. "But if I tarry long," in other words, if I'm not able to get there soon, he's saying, "I'm writing these things that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Paul here describes the body of Christ as he's telling Timothy, "I'm writing these things because I want you to know how to behave. And I want you to know how to behave because the body of Christ, you are the church of the living God." That it means you belong to a living God. You belong to a God who is not dead. You belong to the God who is real. He said, "You are the church of the living God." And then he describes the church's position. "You are the pillar and the ground of truth." Now, that word pillar simply means a prop. It means a prop. That word ground means support. Pillar is a prop. Ground is support. So Paul is saying that the church has the responsibility to prop up the truth. And the church has responsibility to support the truth, to hold it firm in place. And when you put these two things together, a prop and a support, what Paul is saying is that as the church, our role, our duty is to uphold the truth, to hold it up, to hold it up in the world that we live in. Hold up the truth. That is our doctrine. The truth about who God is. The truth about what God has done for us. The truth about what His will is for man. Our doctrine. That's what he's saying. He's saying you are the pillar and the ground of truth. You are to uphold the truth. Now notice that I did not say the church is to uphold its truth. I said the truth. Because there is no such thing as your truth, my truth, his truth, or her truth. I know that's a popular way of talking about the truth in the times that we live in. You hear people say it all the time. I just have to live my truth. You just have to live your truth. There is no such thing. This belief in individualized truth is perhaps the biggest deception going. It is the biggest deception that the enemy has going right now, because it teaches us that we, not God, determine what is right, acceptable, and good. That's what it teaches us. And we, of course, determine what is true based on our desire. So if we desire it, it's right. If we want it, it's acceptable. If we feel like we have to have it, it's good. But our desire does not make something right, acceptable, or good. We have to understand that as the church. Our desire does not make something right, acceptable, or good. Write this statement down in your notes. God alone has determined man's truth. God alone has determined man's truth. That's why you can't have your own truth. That's why I can't have my own truth, because God alone has determined man's truth. See, there's so much talk about how we should live and what is okay and what is appropriate. But church, we have to understand there is no controversy with God. There's no controversy with God. He has already determined what is good, right, and acceptable. And nothing that we desire, nothing that we think, and nothing that we do will ever change that. See, God alone has determined man's truth. He is God. If we determined truth instead of God, we would be God. God alone has determined man's truth. Pastor, why do you keep saying this over and over? Because the world doesn't believe that, but unfortunately, we don't believe it in the church. Because we have adopted this idea of individualized truth. But we must be the pillar and ground of the truth. That is the doctrine that we receive. We're supposed to take it and uphold it. Nothing more than that. See, we can choose to believe whatever we want to believe about God. You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe about God. You can say there's a spark of the divine in all of us. You can believe that God is in the trees and in the birds and in the grass. You can believe that God is some abstract energy or force with no personality. See, you can believe whatever you want to believe about God. But we're not going to face our understanding of God on the day of judgment. You do realize that. We're not going to face our understanding of God. We're going to face God, who he actually is. So we can choose to believe whatever we want to believe. That doesn't mean that we're safe. See, we can choose to identify however we want to identify. Man can decide he's a woman. A woman can decide she is a man. You can do that. But God will judge us according to who he created us to be. We can choose to do whatever we want to do. Feel like we are okay, justified in any action that we take. But God will judge us by his standard, not ours. See, God alone has determined man's truth. Church, we have to understand people are wrapped up in the deception of individualized truth, but the church has responsibility. We have the responsibility to hold up the truth so that the lost might have the opportunity to be delivered from the deception that leads to destruction. That's our role. That's our appropriate place in the world. It's not our job to be culturally relevant. It's not our job as the church to adapt and evolve with the times. It's not our job to water down the truth to make it more acceptable for people to hear. It's our job to uphold the truth, the doctrine that God has given us. Why? So that people might be saved. How do we uphold the truth? Church, that brings us to our points for this morning. If we're going to uphold the truth, we have to do three important things. If we're going to uphold the truth, we must, point number one, know the truth. If we are going to uphold the truth, we must know the truth. Now, let me give you a slightly different definition for that word know. To know means to have a clear and certain understanding of the truth. It means to have a clear and certain understanding of the truth. Church, if we're going to uphold the truth, if we're going to uphold our doctrine, we must know it. We must have a clear and certain understanding of what is true. And that's a struggle for the modern day Christian. It's a struggle for us. We don't have a clear and certain understanding of truth. In other words, we don't know our doctrine. Well, Pastor, I know we don't know our doctrine. We think we do. But error has crept into the church. Error has crept into our understanding. Well, Pastor, I just don't agree with that. We don't know our doctrine. You would be amazed at how many times I talk to Christians who say things that are contrary to their doctrine. I mean, absolutely opposed to their doctrine. You would be surprised at how many times I talk to Christians and they say things that are just off, inaccurate. We don't know our doctrine. We have generalized understanding of things. That's not clear and certain.